Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 51 of Youth Hacks. I'm Josh from youthhacks.com, and as always, I'm here with some of my very good friends from joeldiaz.com. Joel Diaz.
Hello.
And from sarahflow.com, Sarah Flow. Sarah, are you there?
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, seriously.
Did you just do a dramatic pause? Sarah.
What was that?
Can you hear me?
I can't hear. No.
How did you know I asked the question? All right, Joel, you talk. I can hear you, Joel. Talk to Sarah and see if Sarah can hear you.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
Okay, well then.
Wait. Hold on. Redo. Hello.
I didn't want to talk to Sarah anyway. So, Joel, I'll talk to you. You talk to Sarah.
Oh, no.
I couldn't hear you for a second.
It'll be one of those families.
Well, I'm supposed to be singing all my words right now. I'm supposed to be singing all my words.
Hey, guys, I have kind of a new website.
I don't know what that means.
Like my website.
You either have a new website or you don't have a new website.
Well, I've been learning the HTML and the CSS.
All right.
So I made a little, it still has some placeholder text, but at joshandleah.com, I made a new little website.
Whoa. Hang on.
It's been 5 years since the first one I did in iWeb. And this I did with letters in a.
I can't believe Josh and Leah was available. Oh, this is cute. Look how cute this is. Look at you guys. You guys are cute.
Look, it's the Cook family.
You guys know a lot of. What is that, Latin?
No, that's lorem ipsum text, so it's nothing.
Oh. Wow.
Just placeholder text.
It's so cool. I like it. I'm very impressed. Have you been to sarahflow.com recently?
I know you. It wasn't
try not to.
The WordPress blog anymore. I can't remember what's. You have the little landing thing.
It's Angry Penguin.
Oh, yes. I remember that. That's awesome. You know why? Okay, so Sarah, look at my site and look at the text just below our photograph. What does it say?
Hold on.
Tiny text right below the photograph.
Oh. That's cute.
What does it say?
Photo by Cassie Robinson.
Yeah, now let's look at your site and see where your photo credit is. Oh, there's not one. But guess who took that picture?
Photo by Josh Cook.
And you know the reason I'm proud of that is because I've said this before. To me, that photograph captures your essence better than any picture I've ever seen.
It's so true.
And I don't know exactly what it means. But it's true.
It means a lot of things.
It means that's a show right there. Episode 52. What does that statement mean? How is this?
So everyone please visit sarahflow.com and
that's flow with an E.
Contribute. That's right.
And Sarah without an H.
Oh wow.
Spelled without an H.
Yep.
Sarah spelled without an H was getting bored.
Hey, Sarah, did you know that Benfolds 5 is making a new record?
I did.
Joel, did you know that?
No, I did not.
I'm so excited about it. I cannot even explain it.
The first time I ever saw Ben Folds 5 live was in 1997 with Joel Diaz.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. It was a magic night.
Wow. I have only seen him. I have not seen the 5. And
we've
I
seen
would
them twice.
Love to.
We saw them
Josh?
Twice, and yeah. I have seen him live two times. Maybe two times.
I'm not impressed. I'm kind of impressed, and I'm really jealous and bitter. That's really what this is.
Hey, also, I went and saw a David Bazan house show not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. I saw that online.
It was great.
Was it awesome?
Yeah. 40 people hanging out in the living room listening to him
That's
play music.
Cool. Did you talk to him?
No.
He didn't talk to people at the house show?
He talked to people, for sure. He hung out and chatted.
Why didn't you chat with him?
Well, I'm not that guy.
I mean, you could. You kind of could be.
I didn't want to be.
I just saw Guster with the Colorado Symphony.
Yeah, I asked you this on the internet and you didn't respond. So what is Guster? Is Guster a band? Is that what that is?
I thought you were being sarcastic. You were being sarcastic.
No, I'm not. What is Guster?
I can hear you smiling.
Josh, you are smiling. I can hear it.
It's because it's funny, but I really don't know what Guster is.
If we were standing in the same room right now, I would literally stare him out of your office and slam the door.
Is that band that Ben Queller started when he was like 13?
I hate you so much.
I'm not even joking. I don't know what Guster is.
No, that is not Guster.
What
I am not
Gustar, isn't it kind of a string?
It's a band. It's a wonderful band. It's
an orchestra?
And you would like them. No, they played with the orchestra. I have nothing else to say to you. We're boring people. And I'm furious.
How does one even learn about Gustar?
She lives in Colorado
now. College? I've been listening to Gustar for 10 years.
Oh, man. Are they like Jump Little Children?
Kind of, but much bigger.
Are they like, what is Need to Breathe? This is not a joke. I hear people talking about it, and
that's
I don't
a band
know what
as well.
It is.
That's a band, but do not associate Need to Breathe with Gustar. That is different.
Okay. What about, are these jam bands?
No.
I'm assuming you heard about them. You live in Colorado, and you went to UGA. I'm assuming these are like Phish or the String Cheese Incident.
They are neither of those.
Is String Cheese Incident, is that a jam band? Did I get that right?
I don't think that String Cheese Incident is a jam band.
Okay.
It would, yeah.
Hey, what was that jam band that everyone liked in high school that wasn't Phish?
Oh,
That were old and local.
Something, it starts with a C. Oh, darn it. If you hadn't asked me, I could tell you. You know what? Halfway through the show, I'll remember.
Okay.
Let's continue.
All right. So it's been a little while.
Hello, friends.
We all chatted. So we thought we'd get together and talk. So next week, we're going to do an interesting show. We're actually going to get Mr. Sarah Flo on.
That's right.
So he has been studying counseling. What's his particular program called?
He's on the licensure path. So it's professional counseling and something, something, something. It's like gotcha. Five words. So, I should probably have that memorized.
But his background is in youth ministry.
It is.
Grew up in youth ministry, worked in youth ministry.
Correct.
And so I just think that's always a very interesting topic to hear people who really know what counseling is.
Yeah.
Talk about counseling to people like us. We say we do counseling.
Right.
And, maybe we don't know. That's not what we're really doing. But I think there are things that we can learn and also maybe limits we can
learn.
And
I think his perspective is cool. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's a cool perspective. You know, he was a psychology major in undergrad. Then he went into youth ministry for a few years and then went on to grad school out here. And I think that it's interesting now to look back on those years in youth ministry without having professional, guidance. And now, like, what he would do differently and, just some interesting topics about, dealing with adolescents. It's a completely different ballgame than counseling adults. So
interesting. Well, so that's what we'll be talking about next week. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
This week it's going to be a little bit of a toss-up. So it's been a while since we spoke. We have spoken. So I thought we could chat about what we've been up to. I know Joel's been doing some interesting stuff down in Albany. I know Sarah is continuing to not volunteer with youth or attend a church regularly.
I am attending a church regularly now. Thank you very much. It just took a while.
What church?
I was on a hiatus. I was on a sabbatical, but not pursuing anything noteworthy.
It's pronounced Shabbat.
It is an Anglican mission church called Wellspring.
Wellspring.
Yes.
I'm looking at their website right now. I need to check up and make sure you guys are going to a good place.
It's a very cool vibe. I think you'll like it. I hope it passed your test. If it doesn't, I don't really care because you live far away and you're dead to me. It's all about like local outreach. They have about 100 to 150 people that come into the church every Sunday to get groceries and prayer and Sunday lunch. So I think the coolest thing for me is that the people are coming into the church versus us going out into the community. Like, I think it's something to be said.
Is this
that
wellspringcolorado.com?
Yes, probably. Okay. Before I was interrupted.
I'm checking up.
I think there's something to be said for people who are, if the community is comfortable coming into the church, to get help. I just think that that's a rare thing. Usually people, we have to leave the church to connect with anyone. So I just think it's cool that it's sort of right in the middle of this little community, and there's a lot of needs and under-resourced people in the neighborhoods, and it's cool. It's a very cool vibe. And they actually have an apartment like in the church that used to be, for like missionaries who came home for, I guess, furlough or whatever. And so now there is this homeless family, husband and wife and three kids. And so they actually live at the church, which is really awesome.
Neat.
So they just have a very laid back approach, but I really enjoy it. And the programming is very low. So I don't actually think about the programming, which I have found to be very hard when I stopped working at a church to connect in a service because I kept thinking about the programming.
Yep.
So I don't know if that has been anyone else's experience.
Is this the nice-looking red church door? Is that the real door you walk through on Sunday?
We'll have to look at what you're looking at. I don't know.
Big red, pretty door.
Is it a traditional kind of feel?
Well, the doors
church?
Are always open when it's. Yeah, it's kind of a mixture of.
Oh, that's probably from the mission statement, isn't it? That's
no.
Good. They've been training you. Are you trying to get hired? Is that what's going on?
I think it's called Wellspring Community.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's this
so
one.
So this
then.
Is not WellspringColorado.com?
Nope, it's definitely not Wellspring Community, which is empowering adults with special needs. So that's not it. I think it's Wellspring Community Church.
Google Wellspring. No, just type in the URL, WellspringColorado.com, and tell me if this is your church or not, because I've been taking notes on this church now.
This is pretty cool.
And if this is not your church.
I would approve of this
WellspringColorado.com.
Is this it or not?
It's loading. If people haven't left, they're going to now. Yes, this is it.
Okay. All right. Good.
So you guys do like it's liturgical worship.
And it is liturgical.
And they have
yes.
That's
healing,
awesome.
Healing services.
I haven't been to one of those, but
well, it starts at 6:30. You better move.
This is very Anglican.
I know, but it's really awesome, and the pastor is pretty amazing. Also, in other news, we had. I don't know what I was going to say. Never mind. It's not podcast worthy. So we'll move on. Joel, what have you been up to? Enough about my church and you judging it.
Oh my gosh. I have not said anything because I don't think it's appropriate to heckle a church on the internet.
Yeah, it's true. And also you like it. So
it's great.
You know.
You like it, I like it. Unless I don't, but I'll tell you later and help find you a new church.
Joel, but seriously.
What? Oh, what have I been up to?
So, Joel, you had like a concert.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
We had a little roundup. Well, at the beginning of the school year, we started these things called Encounter Nights,
and what are
once
those?
A month or once a month we get together a group of churches for a night of worship and prayer, and we decided to do something a little different. We got an opportunity to host Family Force 5 for a concert, which they've never played down here, so everybody was kind of excited about it. And so we did a concert Friday night. It was fun. We had the worship band that usually leads worship at Encounter do a set at the beginning and spend some time in prayer. And then we had another local group from one of the churches that I've been able to partner with. A predominantly black church, their youth, for lack of a better term, worship band came over and did some music, and then Family Force 5 blew the roof off the place. It was fun.
So cool. How many people showed?
We had about like just 250.
Cool.
That's awesome. So, that's kind of what you're shooting for, right?
Nope.
Oh, you're really. Shooting for more?
Yeah, I was shooting for 350. So, but it's, you know, the thing is that people in Albany are not used to things of high production value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually the concerts that come through here are, there's not a lot of production that goes with it, not like quality sound system and lighting and stuff like that. So the people that were there were extremely happy with the show.
That's cool.
And, you know, really want us to continue to do that and do more shows. But yeah, most of the people in Albany just didn't realize the production that was going to be going into this thing. So it was a little, you know, a little disappointing not to have the numbers we were looking for. But yeah, this is a friend of mine that owns a production company, and it was kind of his idea to do it. So
do you feel like if you did something again that people would say, hey, that was pretty great last time, we should go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they really – the friend of mine that owns a production company that came in and did it, I mean, he just, he spared no expense. So it was a huge sound rig and an awesome light show. And it was pretty awesome. So
that's really awesome.
Yeah. Everybody left with a really good experience, and everybody left pumped, and they really liked the show. So that was good.
Did Family Force 5 ask about me? Just curious.
Yeah, well, it's weird. No, they didn't.
Hmm, that's so weird.
Yeah.
I like.
They probably just follow you on Twitter and stay up to date.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Joel,
did everyone.
You... Go ahead. Wait, Sarah, you
I was
go.
Just going to say, did.
No,
it is kind of my show. Did all the students that came know who Family Force 5 was? I mean, was that the big draw? Or was it just having something to do to get together?
I would say it was probably about 50-50. Half of the people knew who they were and the other half had no idea and they were there just because they thought it was fun to go to a show.
Right. I'm just wondering, like, is it better to spend the money on getting a big ticket band or to just, you know, get a random band and people still will show either way? Just something interesting to think about.
Yeah, they might show now just because they know that whatever we're going to put in front of them is going to be good. But
right.
I think we have to be selective in who we put in front of them.
Sure.
I think that people know that, what you know, if you're going to see that band in particular, that you're going to get a show.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, Josh, you want to ask me something before Sarah rudely interrupted?
Yep.
Valid questions.
I saw you were writing on the internet that you were excited about this thing called Encounter, and I wondered what that was.
He just told us.
I just told you. That's a thing that we do on a monthly basis.
Oh, that's called Encounter?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what it's called.
It's cool, though, that we picked up a couple more churches that are going to be joining us for Encounter.
Nice.
Cool.
For the next one on April 20th. So.
Very nice.
Hey, Joel, can I ask you a related question?
Go ahead.
I think I probably asked 5 people this on the show at 5 different times. So there's not a network in my area. I go to like nnym.org
mm-hmm.
and there's just not a network around me.
Start one.
With who?
RCC. You need to, yeah.
Other churches.
Cause we don't have there's not a regional director now.
Yeah, I know. We haven't had a regional director since David Grant took that job in Dallas.
You should be the regional director.
That's like a thing. It's like a job.
Yeah. That's a full-time job.
But, oh, they should hire me to be the regional director.
For the Southeast?
For the Southeast?
I could do it, guys. Don't
Yeah,
judge.
Whatever.
But once you have David Grant, you know, it's tough
right.
to follow up.
Right.
Mm, indeed. So I have a question.
No. So I just, seriously, I have been telling myself literally for 2 years now that I was going to, get involved with the network in my area. And every time I sit there and think about it, I think I have no idea what my next step is.
You have to get in your car and go to a church and meet somebody.
Okay. So I know, I don't know any youth pastors in my area.
I know.
Look up the churches and contact them.
Just go. I wouldn't even contact them. I would just walk in the door and try to meet them.
Okay.
Most youth pastors and I, you know, the environment down here for youth ministry is completely different. So we don't have people knocking on our doors all the time. I know in Atlanta, you know, you get sales calls and all that stuff in those big markets. I don't deal with that much stuff down here anymore. So I'm sure up there it'd even be – it's pleasant when I moved down here and I had youth pastors from other churches coming to see me in the first month I was on staff at First Methodist from the other churches in the area going, hey, I'm Brian. I'm from First Baptist. Just wanted to welcome you to the neighborhood. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help you, you know.
The only church I know in my area is North Point. It's the only church I'm even aware of.
Do you know somebody over at North Point?
Kind of. Yes.
Then I would.
Just Google it. Just There's like churches
them.
Within 2 miles of you, Josh.
Yeah. Maybe, what if I did the Hope Roswell churches? Since they
yes,
have some partners
exactly.
with the church.
Okay. They're so close to you.
Okay.
I know the youth pastor at a church right near you that you would
Where?
Probably like.
Where?
Roswell Community Church.
Oh, who's the youth pastor there?
Mike Brown. Oops. Hope I'm allowed to say that online.
We'll have to beep that out. Watch your mouth.
I didn't know they had a youth pastor.
Yeah, I mean, he does a few roles, but youth pastoring is one of them.
Is he the tall music guy?
I don't think
he's
so.
He's the guy
no.
that leads worship that played the Courtney's thing.
No, I don't know. It was not that. I already moved.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway,
all right.
So I have a question, Josh. What have you been up to, other than looking for a mentor for the past 2 years,
not for
or
a mentor.
Network?
I don't need mentorship.
I'm sorry, a network.
I need to mentor
My
someone
dad.
To get all this out of me.
Like, seriously, do us all a big favor. Go ahead.
We did our D-Now. Do we talk about
how
that?
How was your retreat?
I don't know what that
Not means. D-Now. The worship retreat. Didn't you take your this?
Oh, yeah. So there's this thing called LIFT, which is a I'm sorry, not a conference, you guys. Very important. It's a collective of worship leaders that was at Passion City Church.
Cool.
So I went and I took, there were 9 of us from, it was me, another adult, and then 7 kids from our student worship team. And it was very, very cool. Super cool. So I hadn't been to that church before.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say this. I am not a person who cares about church buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't care. Mm-hmm. I like that church building very much. Really, really, really beautiful. Yeah, super beautiful.
Hmm. Why?
Well, it's very, very spare mm-hmm. in the hallways. And yeah, I mean, the meeting space is great, but so everything is kind of like, it's almost like you've walked into an Apple store, but everything's okay. like gleaming white. And so because of that, like, so for instance, they have this a children's ministry meeting space. Well, mm-hmm. all the walls are like white. The floors are kind of, you know, maybe granite or something. The ceilings and are all exposed, painted white. So, but then the children's ministry is like this bright green wall. So it makes it very clear to and easy to navigate. And then they have like displays up for upcoming events or sermon series. And so that stuff really pops. So the building's
That's cool.
really beautiful. Something else I noticed, is that, you know, everywhere has greeters, you know, whenever you go mm-hmm. to anything. And normally when there's a greeter, I'm like, oh, hey, honey. Like, you know, you're going to shake some hands. It's kind of awkward. Like, I would have been just as fine to not be greeted by you. I mean, not like, because, I don't know, whatever. It's like,
right.
Now I have to interact with you for a second and act like it matters. But this place, when I walked in, I really believed that those people were overjoyed that I was there.
That's cool.
I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just really good training, whatever. But people, it's kind of like a... there's that vibe sometimes at the National Youth Workers Convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, like, we are so happy that you came through the doors, you know?
Totally.
But the actual conference was pretty neat. Basically, so there's a bunch of music. Louis Giglio spoke a couple of times, and Christy Knuckles spoke once, and that was really great. And then they kind of did some breakout sessions, one on songwriting, one on church music with David Crowder. He kind of described it as a reverse Q&A. And then something about four instrumentalists called Leading from Stage Right and Stage Left. But what was really neat is that, okay, so you're going to a worship conference with David Crowder and Chris Tomlin and Louis Giglio and the Knuckles at Passion City Church, and you're thinking it's all going to be about celebrity, here's how to be awesome and amazing, and we're going to elevate these people. And they undercut that stuff from the very beginning and at every step. So
cool.
as much as you can undercut that stuff, but with still putting all those people on the stage to do their thing,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They did that. And it was very cool. So it was 100% not technical in any way.
Cool.
There's nothing about here's how you pick keys that kind of move in the right direction to, you know, or like any of that stuff. It was all about, really worship leadery kind of heart stuff. You know what I mean? And so because of that, it was really, really great for our kids. Cause it was more like, how do you think about being a worship leader? What does that mean for your life? How are you thinking and focusing yourself when you're on the stage? What role do you play in the life of someone in the congregation? Like Christy Knuckles, especially, said some very interesting things, but she talked a little bit about, how do you think, was that her or Louis Giglio? But basically saying that, people come in from, you know, just their normal lives every week, and they have all kinds of different situations going on. And so you have to be constantly inviting people in to the experience, because it kind of, you don't really come in ready to do the worship thing the way a worship leader might get pumped up for the morning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about it all week. You're preparing for it. You're thinking about it. Hopefully you're praying for it. And then like a worship service is kind of a thing you know how to do. And the average person walking into the room just is not there. And so you have to be conscious of that and always inviting people in. And so it was very, very interesting. And a lot of little things like that, that I think will kind of shift the way some of our kids think about what it means to be a worship leader. So it was a really cool thing. I came out of it I'm just thinking that it's a really tenuous thing to do. Mm-hmm. When you're, you know, you win whatever Grammys and make a lot of money and all this stuff, to put yourself up on stage and then say you're going to talk about leading worship. And it was really interesting to see the way that they went about it. So
it's cool. And the kids liked it.
They really liked it for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. And awesome. And I kind of would go around and like do like the check for understanding thing, you know, like tell me what you're thinking, what are you hearing, what's interesting to you. And there was very little, oh my gosh, they're so awesome or they're so cool. It was more like, I thought it was pretty interesting when so-and-so said this.
That's cool. That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it was good. And for us, it's neat because it's right in our backyard. But I would say that if you are anywhere in the area, I mean, if you get in on the early bird rate, it's like $50.
So they're going to do this again?
I don't know. But it's pretty inexpensive. So if you are looking for a way to make your musician, for instance, Sarah and I know someone who puts on a conference called Worship for Youth, and it certainly talks about hard stuff, but it's also technical. It's like, hey, if you're a bass player, here's the kind of stuff you should think about when you're playing bass in a worship band. And so if you're looking for that, I would recommend, you know, doing something like that, looking for something different. But if you want to kind of ask bigger questions about what it means to be a worship leader, then this is a really, really great event. People came in from California. I mean, people flew in for it. So,
oh wow, okay, got
it. It wasn't just like showing up. But it's really, I mean, it's basically 24 hours because you're done. You start Friday at 7 and you're done Saturday at like 5.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Also interesting. There was a local cupcake place. So after the first session, they had cupcakes and coffee for everybody. And this cupcake place was posted on Twitter that they were excited because they had just had their biggest order ever. That Passion City Church had a conference and they ordered 15,000 cupcakes.
Oh my gosh. Holy cow. Yeah. So, that's hilarious.
Were they good cupcakes?
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm walking by. I'm like, I'm going to pass on the cupcake. I'm like, you know, I like a cupcake. I'm fine with a cupcake. You know, I knew it would be a fancy cupcake, which I tend to like. But I kind of didn't really want one. And then I saw they had a chocolate peanut butter one.
Oh.
And so I had to eat that cupcake, you guys.
Yeah.
And was it amazing?
It was delicious. Someone was complaining about the salted caramel, and they said that it was too salty. And then I took a bite of theirs and told them they just did not know it was good. Because awesome. It had like the kind of little crunchy salt on top, you know what I mean?
Ooh, oh, that's wow.
So anyway.
I'm starving.
That's my cupcake review.
So I have a question. Are you guys, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this, but I'm going to ask you. This may not be a kosher thing to ask, but are you guys doing Lent? Are you participating in Lent?
Yeah.
Is that something that you're allowed to ask people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know,
there was actually a big article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the amount of churches practicing Lent this season. It's like dramatically up, like, traditions that normally wouldn't do it, like the Southern Baptist. There were a lot of Baptist churches.
Interesting.
Taking part in Lenten.
You know, Tony Jones talks about this. He sort of thinks that, you know, in some ways the emergent church was riding the wave of this, but also the emergent church kind of brought some of this on, where Doug Padgett used to work at a church in, where do they live? Minnesota? I don't know where they are. Michigan? Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I think. That the pastor of the church was the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. So they're like the conservative megachurch, evangelical megachurch, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like super conservative. And that he drove by a billboard they had where it was talking about their instrumental, it was like a meditative organ service for Lent. Well, you were going to go to this church and there was going to be an organist and they were going to have contemplative prayer for Lent. And he's like, dude, in 1996, that would have been so Catholic and mystical and weird and hippie sounding that no one would have ever touched it.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. That stuff has changed. I talk to so many more people who know what that stuff is, celebrate it. But you know, the reason I don't do it is because we don't really do the whole cycle. Like we don't do Ash Wednesday. We just do Good Friday and
Easter and Easter. Palm Sunday.
You know, now at my church, I don't even really think Palm Sunday is a big deal. Am I right on that, Sarah?
You know, I am not sure. It's not a big deal, I don't think, in the youth ministry, at least.
So it's like, you know, you could do Lent, but Lent is not as meaningful if you're not walking through all of it with your community.
Right, that's true.
So every year I go, oh, I'm going to do Lent, and then I go, it's not like if I did it, it wouldn't really work like a sacred practice in that way as much as like a weird New Year's resolution or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. Joel, how has it been for you, sir?
Lent?
Mm-hmm.
It's been, this has been one of the, I guess, one that I've observed most, I guess is the easiest way of saying.
Interesting.
Sometimes I tend to, my focus wanes as Lent draws on, but not this year. It's, been pretty strong.
Did you give up girls softball?
For Lent? Wow. Let's just talk about that. No, I did not.
But, no, I did, I guess I'm doing a little bit more intense, I guess, in what I've given up for Lent this season. And it has been, a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be, which I guess is the point. Mm-hmm. It just makes me think about when I'm craving those things, why I'm not partaking of them. So
are you allowed to say what you're doing? Is that,
yeah, I just basically, I'm consuming a lot of fruits and vegetables.
Got it.
Either eating them or juicing them or, whatever. So usually my morning starts off with a huge glass of juice made up of various vegetables and fruits. And then like tonight my family sat down for a huge Cuban meal.
Oh
yeah. So my wife's like frying plantains in the kitchen.
Not cool.
She goes, oh, you're not going to eat this, are you? God and bless.
Did you get furious?
No, I came back to the room and logged on my computer so we could do this podcast.
Oh, sweet. See, we're helping you.
Joel, tell me the truth. Are you cranky pants right now?
Seriously.
Come on. This doesn't have to be part of the podcast.
I really want it to be.
Cranky pants.
Okay. Aww.
Cranky pants.
When I asked Joel if he was going to be good to go at 7, he sent me a text message that said, sure, period.
I know. I was so afraid.
I thought, Joel wants to quit the podcast.
I got that same text and I was like, I'm so scared of Joel right now.
Still a little ticked off, but that's okay.
Well, thank you for asking about how my Lent has been, Joel.
What's your Lent been?
No one has to ask you anything.
Because you're going to tell us.
Here is the situation. I have also,
Josh. Can we pause real quick?
Aww, this is going to be so funny.
Of course it's a situation. What else could it be?
No. Okay. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Your church is having a potluck dinner for boomers. 50
Guys, here's the incident.
Okay. So Kendall and I have never really done Lent. Like I have gone to Ash Wednesday services like in college. I went to a Methodist. Okay. And so this year, a lot of our friends were doing it / you know, we're at an Anglican church now. So we were like, should we do Lent? Should we not do Lent? I haven't really felt a lot of pressure to do it. And then it was like 2 days before it started. So we were like, maybe we should have a conversation about it. So I don't know if this is really how Lent is supposed to work exactly, but
you're probably doing it wrong.
We live in a kind of like a loft apartment. And so it's like, there's separate rooms for sure, but you know, it's pretty small. So we talked about giving up television, or like one of us talked about giving up television. And it was like, well, the other person would also have to give up television because right. We live in a really small space. So we were like, well, why don't we just do that? We'll just give up TV.
It's tough, right?
Oh my gosh. And it's so embarrassing because I didn't realize how much TV we watched and how much like my life, like I would have told you, in life, like if you asked me, do you watch a lot of TV? I would have said, no, I barely watch it. And now that it's gone, I'm like, I really watched a lot of TV. You know what I mean? Like it was just kind of on and background noise kind of thing. And I think it's a really hilarious thing. This is maybe an overshare, but Kendall and I got into a pretty severe fight. Like we've never really had like a long extended fight. It's just, we usually resolve things pretty well. I am married to a counselor. So this was like a 2 week, you know, those things that just keep building and building and building. And we had no television. Like it was like silence in our house. Like we're both just like reading books and staring at each other. And so somebody asked me the other day, they were like, so how's Lent going? And I'm like, well, I feel like it's good because it's really intentional. You know, like I really noticed a lot about my, I guess, dependence on this earthly thing, but it's also really humbling. So I don't know. That's how it's going. We have since resolved our fight, in case you were wondering. I know you cared.
Oh, good.
But
who won?
He did. She paused too long. He did.
Listen, I always win everything. Just kidding. There's no winners. Come on.
In my experience,
he won.
In marriage, you know, you always both lose.
That's probably more accurate.
It's like youth ministry games. If you participate, you know, we're all losers.
The winner is still a loser. You're right. Anyway, just curious about the Lent thing because I've been thinking about it a lot. So, but I like it. I will say I really like it, even though Joel's grumpy today. I'm sure he probably can.
So are you? So you then you're not going to be able to watch The Walking Dead season finale this Sunday.
I have never watched it. However, don't you get a break on Sundays? Isn't that kind of the thing?
Yeah, you don't participate in Lent on
Sundays. Are a little well. Some people don't.
Oh, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, it's up to you. It's you.
Let me guess. You're one of those some people that do participate still in Lent.
Maybe.
Of course. That's why.
But Sundays are considered a mini Easter.
It's a day of feasting.
Yes.
Duh. And I feast on television.
Do you really?
No, actually.
Do you have a DVR?
No, we don't have a DVR. We watch stuff on Hulu and Netflix.
Do you have cable?
Sierra, what show do you miss the most?
I feel like a bad Christian saying it, so I probably should say it on TV.
GCB?
No, come on. I really do love Modern Family a lot. I'm not going to lie.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. There's another show that's inappropriate for me to say. Because people will judge me because it's not
let's
very
have it.
Christian.
Let's have it. Come on.
It's really dirty.
I said I listened to David Bazan. He's as unchristian as it gets.
The League.
I don't even know what that is.
It's about these guys who are in a fantasy football league. And it's really dirty. So
sounds
don't watch
riveting.
This. If you're a good Christian, don't watch this show. However, if you have a kind of sick and twisted sense of humor, you might really like it. It's very funny. It's kind of like just watching a bunch of guys talk to each other, but I like it.
But
if I gave up TV, I'd probably miss PBS NewsHour the most.
Oh my gosh. I want to hang up on you.
And TD Jakes.
I like Parenthood.
Those are the things I would miss the most.
Oh.
I can't respect you as a person.
I did watch this really good, you guys ever heard of The American Experience?
No.
It's a PBS thing where they talk about like...
living it.
It's like
Josh, nobody watches PBS.
Well, I don't either, but this people made a big deal. They did a four-hour Clinton documentary that was fascinating.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let me do a snippet of the thing that's fascinating. But the
people just stopped listening to us.
No, listen, this is good. So Bill Clinton was talking about the whole Whitewater scandal and how there was a lot of pressure on them to... appoint an independent counsel to investigate it. So okay. Bill Clinton talks about how because of that, all the Lewinsky stuff came out because it came out in that investigation. And so he said that was the biggest mistake of his presidency was that independent counsel. Well, rewind back like 4 minutes and he talked about how because of the Black Hawk Down thing, that he was really hesitant to get involved in any military conflict, so they didn't get involved in Rwanda and 800,000 people were killed. And it's like, dude, you didn't go into Rwanda and let a genocide happen, and you think that the Whitewater investigation happened was the biggest mistake of your presidency?
Wow.
And
wow.
I'm not like a Clinton hater, but that's tough to hear.
That's really terrible. Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Maybe I should watch it.
You should watch it. It's really fascinating.
Are we going to picks now?
Wow. Oh, I mean, do you want to?
No, I mean, whatever. You guys are, okay, I mean, Joel's picks. Grumpy,
picks.
So
let's
I don't
do
know.
Picks. Boom, picks, done.
Oh, did we have an article to discuss?
No, not at all.
Oh, Joel, are you still there? Uh-oh, we made Joel angry and now he left.
Okay, we'll fold Joel back in. He got mad because he has a Bill Clinton thing.
Why did it go to video?
Did you just send video?
Hi.
You just clicked the send video button, didn't you?
No, I didn't. It just did automatically. Can you see me? Can you see me?
Yes. Can you see me?
No.
Hey.
Hey.
I was there the whole time. I was in a panic trying to find the mute button on my microphone.
Oh.
I just thought you were mad and left.
Patient.
So we're give the man some fried plantains. Come on.
So we're just going to do picks of the week. We're not going to talk about the P word. We're going to say that for next week.
When you put it that way, I think we have to wait until next week.
Yeah, let's wait next week and we'll talk about the P word.
Okay.
Is the P word picks?
No. It could be.
Don't give it up. We'll talk about the P word next week.
I have a pick.
You just like to say
P. Do you guys have a pick?
Yes.
Okay, who's going first? We'll fight over it.
Sarah is.
Okay.
All right, so speaking of Lent, my friends over at Roswell Community Church, I think Lent. They're...
Lent, not Lent.
I know, Sarah. I wasn't going to
say anything,
but that
drives
me crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I hate you guys. Oh, really? Wikipedia?
For Lent.
Lent. For Lent.
You know, you probably call my son Benjamin, don't you?
Benjamin.
Man. I like you both less every time I talk to you. RoswellChurch.org is their website, and they had this cool thing called a Lent calendar, an experiential calendar. And it's a little different take on the traditional Lent, where instead of giving up one thing, every day is something different. So we actually didn't do this because this felt easier to us and felt like more of a sacrifice to do something else. But I think it would be really cool specifically for students because it kind of would give them something to track with, you know, that doesn't feel quite as overwhelming. Because I think a lot of students will start giving something up and then kind of fall off the bandwagon. So it just has some cool ideas. You know, some of them are easy. Some of them are harder. Some of them are as easy as having someone over for dinner or cook a meal for someone and take it to them. Or, but then some of them are kind of strange. Like, get at least 8 hours of sleep tonight. So, anyways, it's just kind of a different feel. So we'll put this on our website, and you can find it under my pick for the week.
Nice.
Very nice.
Another one. Yeah, I like it. Choose one person and pray for them 3 times today.
I hate to brag, but I know the people who made this website.
So do I.
Very nice people.
They are. It's a cool calendar, too. It looks nice.
People from... Well, they used to be at my church.
I led a small group with one of them.
Okay, Joel, your pick, sir.
Wait, you didn't talk about how much you liked my pick.
It was really good. So so there are a couple of things in this that are specific to their community, but
it's true.
You can take that, throw in a couple of your own ideas, contextualize it.
Exactly.
And then give it to your kids.
Exactly.
Boom roasted.
Boom. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
Can I go now?
Fine.
My pick of the week is Community Bible Experience, which you can find at biblica.com/CBE. Biblica is the publishing company that has like the NIV and stuff, and they've taken the NIV.
That's Zondervan, Joel.
I'm sorry. So Biblica stole the NIV from Zondervan.
There you go.
Is that okay?
I didn't know that, but I just found out.
They reformatted the New Testament, and the main thing you'll see is that it's laid out. There's no verses or chapters or columns, like the prints all the way across the page. And there's a reading guide, and you basically read the New Testament in 8 weeks. And currently I'm doing this with some high schoolers, and we just finished week 5 this week. And so there's no – yeah, it's, you just read it, and then you reflect upon it in a group setting once a week. So there's 5 days of reading. So in 5 days you can, you know, knock out. So you have 2 days of grace there to make up somewhere if you need to. But it's been really cool.
Is that what God said?
Yep. There's one called CBE Mini, which is not the entire New Testament you can do with the youth group. But I just went ahead and went for it. And it's been really cool to see these students really unpack scripture and ask some really tough questions, which has been really, really been awesome. It's created some really good dialogue. So that's my pick. I found out about this at National Youth Workers Convention this year. and thought I'd give it a go. So it's been good. They're really excited. And now they're excited about redoing the cycle again and inviting some of their friends into this thing. So, yeah. And it's there's no media. There's nothing with it. I mean, it's just and the Bibles are only $5 a piece, so it's very affordable.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Hey, can I tell a related story?
Good
yes,
pick.
Please.
So,
thank you, Sarah.
There's like this ESV Economy Bible that Crossway sells, mm-hmm. and we got 240 of them because if you buy 5 boxes, they're $1 each.
Wow.
So I got 240 Bibles for $240 to keep in our room, and so we used them one night, and a kid came up and was like, "Hey, my Bible has like 2 Matthews and no Mark." And I'm like, "Oh, that's not good." But I looked at one of the ones, and it had like it was right. And then someone else came up, they're like, "Hey, mine doesn't have an X." So every Bible was wrong, but they were all wrong in different ways.
That's awesome.
So I called them and I was like, "Hey, these Bibles you sent are wrong. Like, I think you go to hell for that." I didn't say that part, but isn't that in the Bible in Revelation?
Something like that, yeah.
Something about jots and tittles, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so I tell them, and they're like, "Oh, you got the Economy Bibles," and they sent me a new one. So they sent them right out, and they were there in like a 2 days.
And, the Economy Bibles.
That's what they're called. But the point was, it was a misprint. But so it was awesome. They sent me.
But
Bibles
usually,
very
a misprint is consistent across
yes.
several copies. Not
usually if
misprints.
They sell. Many, many, many wrong products. Lots of people know about it. They might give you a call.
That's really funny.
That was kind of my take. But anyway, so now we have the new ones.
That's awesome.
Wow. What'd you do with all the other ones?
They're still sitting somewhere. The lady was like, "And you can donate them?" Well, maybe you don't want to donate those.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
What would you do with a bunch of Bibles that were wrong?
I would do some skit where Christianity has been oppressed in the United States and people in uniforms come in and burn the Bibles.
Dude, can I tell you, I know of a family that has a new fire pit, and I was like, "Oh, I could give them that." And I thought, dude, this family could never burn even a bad Bible. They don't have it in them.
That's funny.
Anyway. All right. So that's a story related to Joel's pick. Now it's
That's not your pick of the week.
Nope.
Bad Bibles.
Good Lord.
Nope. Although those are great. So Crossway, $1 Bibles. So my pick is the story. Subtitle, Help Your Students Experience the Bible. And so this is some new curriculum from Michael Novelli. So I know that we all are familiar with him and the story and storying and all that stuff. So Sarah, when you were at Fellowship doing my job, you guys did this with your middle school kids, right?
We did.
So now they have brand new curriculum with videos and let's see, reading scripts.
That's cool.
A bunch of other cool stuff. So let's see here.
So you're doing it
stories,
again.
Stories, poems, teachings. Well, yes. Yeah, so the kids that have gone through that you did with when they were in sixth grade are now eighth graders, and this they'll graduate from up to high school.
Oh, yeah.
This
That's
summer.
Awesome.
So we're going to do this in the fall. And I was excited about that and starting to work on it. And then today I just happened to stumble on this that they have a new curriculum with a bunch of DVDs and stuff. So,
That's so cool.
I'm very, very excited about that. So we're going to look through this stuff and see how we can incorporate it into doing this. But if you're not familiar with the story or Michael Novelli or storying, there's probably a lot more to it than I could explain, and especially could explain right here. But the idea is that basically you are getting a picture of the meta narrative of scripture. And so instead of like trying to pull a lesson out of each topic, whatever, you're just letting students encounter the narrative itself, which is a pretty powerful thing. And a thing that we probably do a whole lot less than we think that we do. So that way you get the stories, but you also get the larger story. Is that right, Sarah? Am I saying that well?
That is correct.
Okay, cool. So,
and each week it just kind of builds on the previous weeks and you kind of touch on it. So what we did with ours is we had a painting every week while the speaker was talking, and those paintings hung in our room during the whole series. So it kind of just helped. So each week they would recap and then everyone would look at the paintings.
In his curriculum, there's like a symbol kind of for each.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Like
exactly.
It looks like a really very simple symbol.
Right. So then someone would draw the symbol.
Yeah.
Right. So the symbols would be on our slides and on all the stuff that we passed out. And then someone would be painting the symbol in their own way.
Was it really good?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I think it was good for us because it was a pretty long series, which is something that we had not done, at least since I had been on staff there. And so it was just helpful to have some kind of core focus, you know, but especially in middle school, like kids love story, you know? And we also brought in a few volunteers, like some of our small group volunteers would speak, and it was an easy thing to incorporate other volunteers into because you already had this really easy curriculum that was something they were familiar with, but it was just kind of a different spin, you know? And so like we have some really great storytellers in our community and yeah, we enjoyed it.
That's yeah. So it's, you're not preaching in the same way maybe you would be for a lot of other stuff.
No, you know, you're storying. Is that a word?
It is. Well, I think he made it a word.
Mm, see, there you go.
That is my pick.
Good pick. Good I think pick. That's really cool. Thanks, I'm going to check it out myself.
That means a lot coming from you guys.
I mean, it's not as good as my pick, but it's still good. So, I mean, it's kind of my pick, but just in a different way, you know.
Sweet. Yes.
I do. Good show, friends.
Good show.
Hey, I miss you guys.
I know. Miss you.
All right.
All right.
That's all.
Miss see you, Brian.
All right.
Seriously.
So, I know.
Took away the comments, and it's kind of taken away my, like...
Love?
Well, I just felt much better about myself when I would get a comment from somebody.
At least we know Brian's out there.
Question.
Do we? Because there's no comments.
Are we doing this next week?
He tweets.
Yeah.
All right. Duh. Joel, are you doing this next week or no?
Yes, I am.
I got you.
Are you going to meet Mr. Seraphlo?
Oh, yeah.
I have you on the internet saying, announce what's happening.
All right. All right, cool. Until next week.
Peace in the Middle East.
See ya. Israel. That's it.